Benvenuti ad Onda Azzurra, un programma podcast di interviste, storie, musica e cultura, creato da italiani e dedicato agli italiani in Nuova Zelanda. Benvenuti ad Onda Azzurra, la voce degli italiani in Nuova Zelanda. Oggi vi presentiamo un altro episodio della serie tematica Identità, discorsi e riflessioni su diverse geografie culturali. Ma prima di cominciare vi ricordiamo che l'episodio d'oggi è realizzato grazie al supporto del MAECI, il Ministero degli Affari Esteri e della Cooperazione Internazionale. So I'm delighted, I'm going to switch into English and say I'm delighted to be here again today with a fantastic guest who I'm going to introduce as Aldo Micio, former local body politician in New Zealand, Mayor of Nelson 2010-2013, Chairman of Co-Founder of Medical Kiwi, senior management roles with appointments in New Zealand, Hong Kong, Shanghai, Sydney, etc., etc. Now, who is this Aldo Micio? Aldo Micio belongs to a group of people that we hold very dear to our hearts, Italians, but second generation Italians living in New Zealand and sometimes living abroad. And so we're going to start with Aldo and explore what it means to be a second generation Italian, what it means to be second generation anything, actually, to be honest, because it will apply to so many other cultures. But I'm going to pass it over to our usual co-presenter, Miriam Sessa. Ciao, Miriam.
Ciao, kia ora koutou katoa. It's Miriam again. Lovely to be in this space and with a new guest exploring this other theme around culture and identity, which we haven't explored so far. So thank you, Aldo, for coming along on this journey with us. It's lovely to have you here.
You're welcome. And thank you, Miriam. And thank you, Carla. Great to be here. Yeah, looking forward to an enjoyable chat.
Absolutely. Now, before we jump into possibly some exploration of this topic, is there anything else you wanted to let our audience know about yourself, or did Carla summarize it enough?
Oh, no, that's all fine. Carla summarized it enough. You know, I'm born and bred Nelsonian. My grandparents came out on two different pathways from Italy. They came out here and had my mum, and I was born here, and mum was, you know, first generation Italian. I'm second generation Italian. My father, he was born in Italy, and like a lot of Italians that come to New Zealand, he went back up. Well, mum went back home and met dad and came over, and yeah, that's me. You know, that like they say, the Wagga Moas is my mountain, the Mai Tai is my river. So, you know, yeah. I'm a Nelson boy.
And
such with Italian heritage.
Yeah, Nelson boy with Italian heritage. And also interesting, yeah, you've got a first generation mum and an Italian born dad. So there's quite a mix as well in there, even between your parents, of how they might have been negotiating their own experience.
100%. And that's probably, I mean, especially with language and a lot of cultural elements. I think mum being born here was a little bit of a link to the New Zealand culture, so to speak. She had already done it herself. So there was dad's, I guess, character of a person being straight from Italy and mum being born in New Zealand. So there was a little bit of a blend. And like, well, let's face it, any kid of my generation of Italian heritage born in New Zealand, you know, there was, you know, unique experiences that we experienced and that we sort of know. Had a couple of reunions over the years from the Italians at the primary school St. Joseph's in Nelson, and it's I won't say it's one where we knew the difference, but I don't think it was one that was totally, the difference was probably more understood in the playground around morning tea and lunchtime. When we opened up our morning tea and lunches compared to what you know, multiple Kiwi generations of kids that came through, you know, that were also. But yeah, so no, definitely a unique experience growing up in New Zealand.
Yeah, so I maybe let's start there actually, because our first question is a very broad one, which is, what is your experience of being second generation Italian Kiwi, really? And it sounds like also you had a unique experience of being second generation with that, with what you were saying before of your parents, where you had a mum that could be a link, that had already done some of that translation, and also a different experience with your dad. But I'm really interested in what was in your lunchbox going to school.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, I mean, one of the before that, I guess one of the important sort of links, I mean, with the I was probably what in my generation being allowed to have sleepovers, which is probably not something that was done in my father's era being brought up. But mum had to go through those struggles about being allowed to have sleepovers. So my first sort of sleepover at 8 or 9 years old, whatever it was, I remember playing basketball at lunchtime and a friend's driveway with three or four other friends, and we got called in for lunch, and we go in for lunch, and the mum asks, you know, what do you want for the Kiwi mum asks, what do you want for lunch, and like she says a few things she's got, and everyone goes spaghetti, spaghetti, and I go, oh shit, that's cool, that's not what I heard, that's not what I heard that Kiwis had, and I mean, great, this is great. And so she reaches up into the cupboard and pulls out a can, opens it, puts it in a pot, and next minute we've got spaghetti on our plate. And I'm going like, oh my God. Because back then, the Italian community in Nelson wanted tomato growers. And we used to actually share, like we'd have tomato sauce time. So we'd make tomato sauce, and every sort of family would help the other family make their batch of tomato. It was a hell of a process, and sometimes fresh pasta. And I was looking at this and going, she's pulling out a can, and within minutes it's in a plate. So when I get home, I go, Mom, Dad, you won't believe this, you don't have to do all that work. And I was like 8 years old, 9 years old, I'm going like, you can buy it in a can, it's so good. Now I don't need to tell you what happened next. There was a few words from Dad, and I'm sure Mum gave me a little bit of a side hand or something. Don't say that rubbish thing, you know, it's not a jam, cash gifts,
Don't talk about
bought
that blasphemy in this home.
it. Yeah, that's right, that's right. But the lunch boxes on a similar vein, probably even earlier than that, I remember, because my lunches were, I guess, like a lot of second generation, maybe first generation Italians, it was like, whether it be leftovers on Monday from Sunday lunch, or Mum would make eggplant sandwiches, or she'd do big vegetable sort of like lots of, like, you know, salad and meats and cold cuts and all that sort of. And then the morning teas were quite extravagant and everything. But I've never had a peanut butter sandwich before. So I'd trade my lunch for a peanut butter sandwich and a bottle of yogurt or something.
It's
So it
so
was different.
funny.
And that was probably the most identifying thing, where people knew that I was Italian. Besides my name, that was another identifying thing, like Aldo, reasonably different to most English names, and especially back then. But my granddad had it worse. I don't know, Carla, when we spoke about this before or not, but granddad, when he came out and about, that was Cataldo Romano, my granddad on my mother's side. And when he came out, he left when he was 15, he arrived when he was 16. But when asked his name, you know, it was Cataldo. And I don't know whether through people don't want it. Back then, people didn't want to try to pronounce it, because then it might identify them that they. So it was always a joke. And the first person, I think, was like, no, we'll call you Jim. And so granddad's always been Jim until the day, you know, the Saturday passed. But so my name being Cataldo, but I never really fully appreciated my name was Cataldo, because I was always Aldo. But mum and dad made a conscious decision that Cataldo is too hard to
Shorten it,
pronounce.
yeah.
Shortened it to Aldo. So it wasn't until I was at uni and there was some sort of roll call, and the guy was waiting after he called out the name. And I went, oh, excuse my language, you have to cut that. And they're like, did he just say Cataldo? Oh shit, that's me. Put my hand up. And everyone's looking and going like, why are you putting your hand up? So it was the first time in a public sense, an official sense, I'd been called Cataldo. I was always Aldo. But then my nephew, and he's listening, he's somewhere between 27 and 30, I'm not sure. He's Cataldo, always been accepted as Cataldo. So time's moved on, and it's never been an issue in terms of trying to pronounce the name. So things have changed over that period. So
Yeah, and I think that's a really important part, eh, of thinking about the transitions of even thinking about your mum being a first generation, you being second, and what her experience would have been, and those, and just how society changes. And as you say, it's just thinking, I was thinking about a friend of mine who's they had an Italian celebration day somewhere in a school, and she was dressed up as a gelato, and kind of like, you know, it's the celebration of culture, I think, has become more normalized in general in Aotearoa, which is
right.
probably shifted your next generation, your whānau's next generation
right.
experiences.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot of it, I mean, I don't want to get too deep, but a lot of it comes down to like tolerance and understanding. And that brings patience and commitment to learn about different cultures and all that. So, yeah,
I'm fascinated by this, your family structure. So I want to know, did your parents speak to each other in Italian? Was your mother, did your mother speak Italian, and did your dad speak Italian to her? What was, because sometimes you get English, Italian, and then this, you know, this mix. So what happened?
How were the conversations? It's quite interesting. It's probably, I'm the result of that, where I can sort of understand a little bit of Italian unless it gets too specific into details, and I can understand pretty much fluently most Neapolitan conversation, and then I can speak maybe half to three quarters of that Neapolitan conversation. But I still don't know. If I listen to the news and it's that talking politics or economics or something, I still don't understand all those words. General conversation, I can get by and get a few laughs, especially speaking Neapolitan to people that speak Fiorentine. Because I'm a proud Neapolitan. I still think, you know, Naples could be an independent nation state. Well, you know, the kingdom of two Sicilies, they had it right then. Anyway, but growing up, so growing up, Mum always spoke English to us, always spoke in Italian to Dad, and Dad always spoke in Italian to us, or Neapolitan. So I had Mum speaking English to me, Dad speaking Italian to me, and Mum and Dad speaking Italian to each other. But there's a difference the first time I spent some time in Italy, I went for Christmas with Dad, I was 15, and I'd always got by in New Zealand with the Italian community, because they'd all speak Italian, because I could understand it all, and I'd reply in English. But when I went to Italy at 15, I actually had to reply in Italian. And that transition, when you knew what you had to say, but you couldn't verbalize it, couldn't pronounce it, it took a long time. I mean, I'm still struggling now. I still hear it better than I can say it. So that was the sort of dynamic at home. Mum and Dad spoke Italian to each other, and I guess of the generation, Mum and Dad spoke like 20% Italian, and 80% Neapolitan. So we grew up not knowing what words were Italian, not what words were Neapolitan, and what words were English. So you know, we thought the Italian word for a fridge was refrigerivo, which was just river frigo, which was just Dad applying the English word with saying the fridge, but fridge, he would call it refrigerivo, put an O on the end of it and call it. So when I went back there, I thought it was like Dad had a glass house doing tomatoes, and that was called glassaves. There's no such word in Italian. Glassaves is just his dialect or interpretation of glass house, so he could pronounce it the way that it should be pronounced in his mind. And all the Italians in our community in Nelson around in the wood, that's what it was like. So when I went to Italy when I was 15, geez, I got a lesson in all these words that actually they weren't Italian, they were English, and no one could understand me.
Hilarious. It would have been a cacophony of sounds that just came at you, but then they become words. They do, because you end up combining words. That first generation does combine the English with the Italian just to get through.
I mean, we're probably in New Zealand, we're a little bit later than America. So people like myself know what are the correct ones and how to. But in America, they've had like earlier generations before there was a communication and education and I guess awakening and understanding cultures or wanting to learn. So in America, they are completely convinced that some words are actually Italian, but they're not.
Yeah,
in New Zealand, we realise that we've figured out they're actually not Italian.
Yeah. And you go. No, Miriam, please, please.
I was just really curious about your experience actually as a 15-year-old going to Italy and what that looked like. That's okay.
Yeah, there was I mean I well I had been earlier but I couldn't remember because I was too young. But it was probably everything I'd seen. I was one of those kids that was quite proud of my Italian heritage. I remember like reading, because back then we had encyclopedias, which were books. I remember going through Italy and knowing that they were like the biggest producer of wine in the world, and they're part of the G7 and all that, and great football, volleyball, basketball team, and the culture. So I was pretty well understood and proud and researched the Italian culture because, you know, growing up in New Zealand, I'm not saying there wasn't any strong racism, but you knew that you were unique and different, and my culture was Italian, so I wanted to learn a lot about it. So going to Italy, and it was in the winter too, so it was Christmas time, so it was very different, but it just was a on steroid version of what it was like growing up in the wood era of Nelson, where we had quite a number of Italian families all sort of working together and all in the same industry, and families and the dynamics and the occasions of the Italian club and getting together for all the different events at the Italian club. It was like that, but just a lot more condensed, a lot more stronger. It was just, yeah, it was amazing. I loved it. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. And it
It
was winter
made
too, so everyone was forced to be closer. Everyone's like indoors more, and it was all that experience. So it was pretty.
me actually think of a question that came to me straight away, because you talk about the woods, which by the way sounds really romantic to me, because you know when you're in the middle of a big city, you don't tend to be in an area with other Italians,
Oh
but
no. Yeah, there was no woods. There was no trees.
what is this
The
called, the
wood
woods?
the wood is a suburb of Nelson right next to the
Oh,
city. So
here I am.
it's right there. I mean, all the Wellingtonians in Nelson will understand the wood area,
Oh,
where all the
okay.
Italians lived. It had all the glass houses, which are all gone now. So now it's all like, you know, prime real estate, because it's only like a 5-10 minute walk to the main street of Nelson. And so
Still, it
it
must
was
have been
called
a
the wood.
suburb where the Italians were, because you've
Yeah, that's
kind of
right. We're
mentioned that
all
there were
there.
others. So you were all quite together.
All
So
there,
even though
all there,
you were
all
different, you
together.
still had other different kids that hung out
Yeah,
together
yeah,
and.
yeah. So we still knew, you know, and like we're all, be like 70% maybe, or maybe 80% of the Italians in wood area, which were where all the Italians were. So there was two Italian communities in New Zealand, Wellington and Nelson. And some of the Nelsonians in the early days, my grandparents' days, went to the East Coast and then came back, or just sort of moved around. Few in Christchurch, but they weren't as tight in Christchurch. They weren't sort of didn't have a club. And Nelson and Wellington were two strongholds from the 1880s through to last 20 years. Now there's a lot more Italians that have come, but they were the two. I mean, there was probably like three diasporas. One probably in the 1870s, 80s. Another one after one, then another one after two. So Wellington. So majority of the Majority between Wellington and Nelson is between sort of like Naples, being on the peninsula, you know, like Capri, Massa, Sorrento, Murphy sort of area, all around that area. And the other one was Stromboli. So a lot of Italians came from Stromboli. And so there was probably more Stromboli in Wellington. And Wellington became quite a strong fishing community. Nelson had still like people from Naples that were fishermen. Some of them went down the west coast, but Nelson became the agricultural place, and tomatoes was the crop of choice. But between the Nelson and Wellington families, there's a lot of crossover, a lot of like intermarriage, a lot of like people from same villages, and Nelson is the same villages in Wellington from the Naples area. And so it's two very strong communities to today that have been there since the, you know, prior to the turn of the 18th century. So there's a real strong team today of kids my age. And so the Italian club and the Wellington club together, they do an annual, I don't know if you know, the football tournament, which just keeps my generation and my children's generation together by having an annual event at the football match, where and it's the Aldo Cucurillo Memorial Trophy, a young man in Nelson, Italian man in Nelson, who passed away at a young age. And so, and that's been going, using 5 to 7 years. And so the Italians from Nelson travel to Wellington when it's the home game there, and vice versa. So it's a good catch up for the two communities. And it's also intermarried and all this. So it's quite, so Nelson and Wellington, like two very strong, hung on to their cultures. And even to today, the Italian clubs are very strong.
Yeah, no, I've always heard that the in Nelson now there's actually a huge Italian community, and
right.
there's a whole new load of
That's
Italians that
right.
are doing really incredible
Right.
things.
They
And
are.
there's a festival coming up as well, quite
That's right, in
interestingly.
March.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Fascinating.
Yeah,
Yeah.
my brother just so happens to be he's held every position at the Italian club, and about 2 years ago he got made the president of the Italian club.
Wow.
He's been on the club since he was 18 or 19 years old. He's been on the club committee, and now he's 5 years older than me, so he's 57. So there's been a lot of club presidents and a lot of committees that have managed to keep that going, always trying to reinvent themselves in the club. They keep sort of developing it and doing renovations and doing things. So yeah, quite strong. And you sort of speak to culture and what makes an Italian culture. I guess you can't go past like food, music, and I guess people. And it's that food, music, people, and it might not speak to what modern Italy is today compared to, the generations that came. The fundamentals, it's about community, it's about people, it's about shared experiences, it's about the food, and it's about the music, and it's about the literature.
Move closer to your speaker. Every now and then we're losing you, and
Oh, sorry, sorry,
I hate to miss out
sorry.
on any one word that you're saying because I'm finding it fascinating. In fact, what you were just talking about just now is the crux of our interview, really. You said something really interesting. You said it might not speak to the Italians that are there now, but I tend to disagree. It does, because we are, as Italians, I think what we think of ourselves as is food, music, and that the convivial nature of Italians, the fact that we
That's
like
right.
to be in
Yeah.
Italian we say tutti ammucchiati,
That's
everyone
right.
on top of each other.
Yeah,
So yeah.
perfect. That's what it is. But I guess, I mean, there's, I guess, not a movement as such, but it's sort of like Italy is more than that. So I guess there's a wanting for people to appreciate, the science, the art, the design, and the entrepreneurship. There's a lot of other facets that make Italy quite unique as a culture, but fundamentally those things thrive, and Italy does well because of a strong sort of family social community where people can easily express themselves and have a comfort, have a grounding to go and launch themselves and do things.
Yeah, in other episodes we've explored that in terms of thinking from a sociological point of view. There's a real commitment to that human capital, like the bond and the connection between people is seen as an important investment, that we know that we're only as good as the connections and links that we have, and the relationships that
Right.
we have. Seems to be
That's
quite
right.
a
Yeah. So
like a
launch yourself for you to be who you are destined to be. It's kind of deep, profound sort of thing. So it's a good
Yeah.
grounding to be able to feel safe to go and explore what the world is.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah,
why
it's.
the greatest diaspora nation was that, Italy, Ireland, and China. They're like three countries that sort of all of them have a strong family social. And a few unfortunate instances through history where people have to leave and find jobs. But other countries do that too, but Italians are willing to, get up and go and make the best for their family and create a new sort of environment and life for themselves. Yeah.
So far, there's one thing that interests me, and that is that so far we've talked about all these positive things about being Italian and the attachment, etc. But did you ever experience in your childhood, and this has happened to us, Miriam and I, who are half-halves, whatever, we're hybrids, what has it ever happened to you that your Italianness, your culture, something that you hold so dear, actually wasn't viewed positively in your childhood?
Plenty, plenty. There's definitely a lot of people hold stereotypes even up till today. I notice a lot of people when I get introduced, they hear my name and they're sort of like expecting, someone from Italy or someone that's they're expecting someone that's just come off the boat, like an older person that moved here in the 20s or 30s. You start to speak quite clear English, you see the change in them, the expression. But I guess my first experience with it, and I was in Sister Jeanette's class. So that would have been, how old would I be?
That
Maybe
definitely sounds like a
a
Catholic
Catholic,
school.
yeah.
Sister
St.
Jeanette.
Joseph's, St.
Yeah,
Joseph's,
St.
St.
Joseph's.
Joseph's.
Yeah.
Yeah, sister, she was a good sister. My brother in particular, he had a series where there was a couple of, one in particular, I won't say the name, one sort of nun that the kids were all scared of. But anyway, but there was a new girl came to school, and she was an Australian, bloody Australians now living here, and she was quite surprised because in Australia there was more Italians. And they probably stuck together in communities more. So there was more of this, people didn't know, there was no sort of understanding about the Italian culture of the day. So it would have been a product of her parents, and in that period of her parents, it would have been in the 60s in Australia. There's big Italian communities, and what are the Italians up to? What are they doing? And they're very different, these Italians. And she came there and she started calling me a wog. And I never heard that before. I was a wog. And it was the first time anyone else in the class had heard that. So she introduced this, you know, he's a wog in Italian. So that was like a little off for a while. Yeah, so yeah, old Fleur. Yeah.
So you had your first introduction of good old racism right there.
But you still get it today. I guess any Italian that goes anywhere gets it from different communities. So it's still...
Yeah, I'm interested also in that transition with the new Italians arriving and the interaction with the existing Italian community, if there's any kind of positives and negatives that happen there, because I can imagine it's also, you know, some of the stuff that can occur that you're not Italian enough. I mean,
yes.
Carla and I have talked about it a lot of being hybrids. We're never English or Italian.
Say, well, you're not fully. You're not.
No, that's right. I mean, the easy, like, chances are that probably over 50% of them are from the north of Italy. So I just tell them that they're not real Italians anyway. They're half German. So anyway, sorry, I don't want to offend anyone. But
no, you don't.
It's a bit of banter. So if someone's willing to banter, I'm willing to banter back. But that doesn't. There is a little bit of that because people, you do get that. But I guess it's a lot of it's being Italian. There's genetics, of course, and but it's how you're brought up and what you appreciate. And in a way, I feel Italians in Italy now, they're days of the 60s and 70s or 50s. But I grew up with that because when all those Italians that came out, whether it be 1920 or 1950, they never changed. Mm. Like my dad, when I was about, you know, in the 1990s, he was going, all these drugs in New Zealand and everything. You know, there's no drugs in it, no drugs in Italy. Meanwhile, in Italy, it's like full of drugs, like 100 times worse than New Zealand. So I grew up in what a lot of people think was the heydays, or a lot of new immigrants that are leaving because of reasons, and it was way better in the 50s and 60s. I had that Italian cultural upbringing. It was like, we were like, and my dad and a lot of Italians that first came out, my dad's English probably never developed past his first 3 or 4 years here, because there was like quite a lot of Italians to speak to. And so he would always, actually, he'd speak a mixture. Like, he'd speak to English people, half in Italian, half in English. He'd speak to Italian people, half in English and half in Italian. So you know, no one could understand him. But yeah, so, and a lot of Italians like that.
I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and you have that normal intergenerational stuff, like possibly those of you who are parents or doing this, like back in my day, we never had these devices or whatever it is. But when you have the addition of a parent that's migrated and the image that they have of their home country, as well as the next generation of, you know, by my time, this never happened. And it's like, it might have in your time, you might not have known about it.
It was less, I guess.
Yeah, but there's that.
I think that happens to us as well, though. You know, we move away, we come back to New Zealand, and you know, after 2 or 3 weeks, you're going, oh God, you know, in Italy, the food is this, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then you go back to Italy, and you're reminded, you're reminded like a smack in the face that actually it's not as idealized as but I guess we have to hold on to those good bits, you know, to keep us kind of warm in the heart, you know, while away.
I mean, when I do go back to Italy, and I go back reasonably regularly, especially pre-COVID, reasonably regularly for work, and especially when I go back home, I get a real sense, even though it's chaotic, it's like organized chaos and it's busy, and I just feel so relaxed and at home. And I don't know if that's like psychological, whatever, but there's a real calmness and home feeling when I go back to Muscle and Rands, which is the village that my parents are from. I didn't actually explain to you where they came from. So quite interesting. I mean, it's not the second generation topic we're talking about, but so my on my mother's side, her mother from two parents that were born in Muscle and Rands, she was born in Buenos Aires. And then she went back at the age of five. And then she then meanwhile, my mother's father, he traveled over at 15, 16. He went back and met my grandmother. So there's this, so where you come from, I'm quite lucky that a lot of it all goes back to Muscle and Rands, but there's just this spread. And like we've got family in New York and Mar del Plata and all over the world. And a gentleman, because I'm on my mother's father's side, his uncle was a Capriello. And so the Muscle, a guy, an older gentleman who passed after he published The Family Tree in a published binder going back to 1720. He researched it all his life and put it in a binder of the Capriello family tree back to 1720. But the book's just like everywhere. It's like almost every country in the world. Well, in the space of like 250 years. It's like unbelievable. So we get around, us Italians, and we sort of spread our Italian like goodness butter. Everywhere.
Yeah, like oil, I should say.
And yeah. I, as you were talking, I was what was coming up for me is actually the uniqueness of being in Aotearoa, and I think some of the Māori concepts and the integration with Māori understanding of hearing 100%. You talk about home, and really that sounded like your Tūranga Waiwai, like where
that's right, that's
your,
right,
my, your
my,
roots
yeah,
are.
My true mountain and river is just like yeah, but it's so where we grew up in the wood, so the wood was near where the first marae was built in Nelson, Whakatū Marae. And it's quite a special marae because it has about, I was on the marae committee, so I should remember this. It's either six iwi or eight or nine iwi. I think it's all of them. So it's quite unique that it includes all these iwi. It's quite a special marae. But the only council never contributed any funds back in 1960 when they built it. The only people that contributed funds was the Italian club. So they are the only ones. And growing up in the wood, I mean, I was only when I got onto council. So in 2007, I was on council, and I was going, and came back after going to university. So that's when I was 18. So a lot of that running around the neighbourhood up to the age of 13, 14, 15, you just sort of see everything of what it was, and it was generally all Italians, but it was also Māori. And I remember I was in council, and people would come to present, and there'd be iwi would come present, and I was going, what's Auntie so and so doing here? She must be Māori. I thought, what? And I was going like, so if we growing up, and because like family, we pronounce our vowels the same, which is quite cool.
Yeah.
And still got that family, a love of food, and a love of family, and a love of community.
And
so we integrated well. Like for the only outside group to contribute to build the marae back in 1960s was the Italian community, you know, through the Italian club fundraising. So it's like quite special. So when I was pitching as a councillor to get the matches in Nelson for the Rugby World Cup, I had to pull every trick out of the bag because there was no way we were going to get matches at Nelson. But pulling on the Māori Battalion connection, pulling on the Italians in Nelson with a close connection to the Māori community, you know, and then also lobby the Italian rugby team, which I wasn't allowed to do, but I thought, bugger it. Got to win here. Got to get games in Nelson, and so we did some wonderful things together with the Italian community and the Whakatū Marae from the Pōwhiri. Like Dad was in the kitchen in the Marae kitchen for about 4 or 5 days, training up the staff and working with the staff and singing songs with the staff. So he's there. So I'd go in there and Dad would be singing with everyone from the Marae, teaching them. You know, Italian songs and being cheeky and everything, and and pumping out, you know, a few thousand cannellonis and everything else. Because Dad used to be a chef, so Dad was a chef back in Sorrento. Yeah.
You know, Aldo, the thing about these programs is that, you know, I say to you that they go really fast, and sure as hell, it's the time has gone. But I have to say, it's not just gone, it's evaporated, because I'd love to hear more, so much more. And it's been a delight to hear about it.
Oh, we can do it again sometime.
I'd love to do it again. Yeah. And, you know, we're going to explore the second generation thing. And I think it's fascinating. But I'd just like to end with just Just something that was really, really obvious to me, and something that's probably that really touched me, and that is how much you feel Italian, how much I feel Italian, how much Miriam feels Italian, and out of the three of us, none of us were, you know, I was born there, Miriam was born there, but you know, like we don't have the full Italian, as in mum, dad, etc. But what really unites us is the feeling of being Italian, what it means to be Italian. And you've really put it into a really wonderful, heartfelt story of yourself. Let's do it again.
Thanks,
let's do it again.
100%.
Amazing.
Thanks,
I'm going to say buonanotte a tutti, but I'll let Miriam say goodbye as well.
Yeah, thank you everyone for listening, and thank you, Aldo, for I'm really sitting with the Turanga Waiwai of where how we connect with our roots, and whatever those look like, and really thinking of the roots help us be accepting and engaging with others when we feel those roots really strongly. It's been wonderful. Let's talk again.
Yeah.
Grazie, grazie, grazie a tutti, grazie a tutti e buonanotte. Yeah.
On and off, yeah.
Avete ascoltato Onda Azzurra, la voce degli italiani in Nuova Zelanda. Vi ricordiamo che potete trovare tutti gli episodi sul sito ondazzurra.podbean.com e su Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast o sulle vostre piattaforme preferite.